morning, Kansas City. Welcome to Capitalist Pigs, where every week we bring you what's hot in business, the markets, and your money. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager for Butler Lands and Wagler, and Capitalist Pigs, produced every week by Mr. Martell Love. And this show is sponsored by Butler Lands and Wagler. Please feel free to send us an email today with your thoughts, opinions, or questions. You do that by going to the show's website. That's at thecapitalistpigs.com. Thecapitalistpigs.com. While you're there, you may check out the charts that we have posted for you. A lot of good ones this week, because this week we had a lot of stuff released regarding our economy. So again, that's thecapitalistpigs.com. Check out the charts I've got for you. Good morning, Mr. Martell Love.
Good morning, Chris Butler. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Are you enjoying your weekend?
So far, so good. It seems a little cold, you know.
Very cold.
It is December, you know. Somebody,
so it's about time, right?
Yeah, was telling me I need to stop whining about it. It's what the weather's like in the winter. But you know what? I understand that, and frankly, I like it when it's cold occasionally. And I certainly would prefer the cold over cold plus sleet and hail and snow, right? But of course, we're getting.
I just hate driving in the snow.
Yeah, I do too. It's horrible. I don't like it at all.
But as long as I'm sitting at home and I could just look out the window and look at it, I'm fine with it.
That's right. And that means that as long as it just snows on the weekend, everybody's cool. Except you, who have to cover and work for Chiefs.
Right.
Correct. So Sundays are probably not real cool for snow for Martell Love.
True. And yeah. I'll have to work on Christmas night, which is not really fun.
That's not
cool.
Hey,
go Chiefs, right?
Yeah, go Chiefs. You're right. They do play on the night game, right?
Yes, or, Christmas night.
Christmas night, yeah. Yeah, that is true. Man, I feel for you. But somebody's got to do it, right?
Somebody has to do it. I guess I'm the guy.
You are the
man
guy.
For the job, huh?
You are the man. This is the career that you etched out for yourself. That's unfortunate. Working, you know, when I was in high school, and I remember a weekend a lot like the one that's coming up, where I think, yeah, it was Christmas Eve on Saturday, Christmas Day on Sunday, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day the following week. And I worked at a hospital, and I got paid so much money per hour because it was weekend pay, which got a premium, and holiday pay. So in some cases, my family wasn't real cool with it, but I made a lot of money on those particular weekends.
Yeah, for me, not so much.
Okay, there you
are. And I have small children that I won't be with
on
Christmas.
That's true, unlike me in high school. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the family is going to have to do without their dad. But they'll be watching, will they not?
They will be. They will be.
Or listening. They'll get to
rooting them on.
That's right. And the Chiefs are not really the only story we've got this week. Although here in Kansas City, it's probably pretty high on a lot of people's minds, because the Chiefs, I think, can wrap up a playoff bid on Sunday with a win. Of course, we want more than that. We'd like to have the number two seed, which would give Kansas City a home game and a week off, if not two home games. That's what we're hoping for. That is on the list for Santa here in Kansas City. Probably something that was not on many people's list of things to Santa was a higher interest rate. I happen to like it, but I know that there are some that don't. And Martell,
why
you and
not?
I think that higher interest rates help. Oh, they do. They help some and they hurt others. It just depends on what side of the equation you're on. For example, savers are going to make more money because we raised interest rates on Wednesday. They're not going to make a lot more money, but they do benefit. And if the Federal Reserve's plan is allowed to unfold as they told us on Wednesday, by the end of next year, people that currently have money markets that were paying almost zero 12 months ago, by the end of next year, could be paying as high as 1.25%, 1.5%. We'll have to wait and see if they actually get to implement their plan. But the reason I like the hike in rates is more than anything, it gets speculators out of the economy. When you make money free to borrow, you're going to get a lot of speculation, and that distorts prices. The more speculators are in our economy, the less actual production goes on in it. So, go ahead and make those short-term interest rates higher, because what it does is it actually is a cost to speculation, which, honestly, isn't even high enough at 1/2 to 3/4 of a percent. But that is what they decided on Wednesday. Janet Yellen and company did decide to raise interest rates by 0.25 point. However, that was factored in. Going into the day Wednesday, there is a way you can actually look at the federal funds futures market. And by the way, when the Federal Reserve raises rates, they're raising one rate generally, in fact, or two actually. But the one people pay attention to is called the federal funds rate. And it's just the rate that one bank will charge another for overnight funds, to borrow money for an overnight period. That's what they're going to raise. But here's the thing. All interest rates are tied to it. So if you raise interest rates at the short end, say the extremely short-term overnight loans between banks, you're going to eventually see the Treasury three-month Treasury bill yield go up. Because that goes up, you're going to see the six-month Treasury bill yield go up. And because that went up, you're going to see the one-year Treasury bill go up, and on and on and on. Now, usually that stops at about the 5 to 7 year, if not 2 year maturity, and then there's almost no impact on interest rates with longer maturities. But the reason that this is important to understand is that all they're talking about raising is short-term interest rates. But on Wednesday, what they told us was a little bit different than what was thought. Going into that decision, the federal funds futures market, where people bet on the rate of interest on federal funds, they had factored in a 100% chance of a 0.25% interest rate hike. That was clear for weeks. In other words, if the Fed came in on Wednesday and actually added 0.25 point to the federal funds rate, It shouldn't have impacted anyone's thinking about anything, because it was already factored in. That's what the post-Trump rally has been. It's been saying we're factoring in higher interest rates, higher economic growth, et cetera. 100% chance of an increase, and we got it. The problem is, if there is a problem, afterwards on Wednesday, during the question and answer period with Janet Yellen, she actually had written in the monetary policy report that there was the intention of the Fed to raise rates three times in 2017. Only two times were expected by the market, so you did see things get wild. That actually is part of her scripted policy that was released at exactly 1 o'clock our time. However, in her question and answer period, someone asked her a question, basically went like this. That three times expected interest rate hikes in 2017, that's factoring in Donald Trump's proposed economic policies, right? To which she answered, no, we're not going to factor in anything to do with Donald Trump until he's actually A, president, and B, actually makes the proposal. Which sounds reasonable to me. I actually think that's the way they ought to look at it.
But you don't think they'll be a step behind?
I don't think, and that is, you're right, that is one of the comments that came after that, is that that puts you behind the eight ball. No, I don't. And here's why. Because I don't think he's going to get everything he has proposed. And the market seems to be thinking he is going to get everything he's proposed. I don't think he is. I think he runs into a brick wall when it comes to stimulus spending. I've said this so often, I'm sure people hate hearing it so much from me, but he's going to have to get the approval of the same people that hated the Obama stimulus of $850 billion, which arguably was a better time to do it, right? So all of a sudden, now the economy is starting to pick up steam anyway, and you want to do a $500 billion stimulus, that would be inflationary, number one. They will talk about that when they're discussing his stimulus plans. But number two, if you didn't like it when, arguably, the better time to do it was in the middle of a deep recession, that I'm not sure you're going to like it now when we don't really need it. And all it does is add to the debt. Mitch McConnell said as much. He said, look, I'm going to be a debt hawk. Okay, well, that should have cooled the expectations for stimulus. It hasn't. And people still think it's coming. Tax cuts, also inflationary, also being factored in. And this is another reason why people think the Fed might be behind the eight ball on inflation. Well, again, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan both have said they're not real excited about tax cuts that aren't going to square the budget. Okay, and we've talked about this over the past couple of weeks. When you first give someone a tax cut, the first thing that happens is you tend to run a budget deficit because you've reduced the state's revenue, and whether that's capital S or small s state. It's the government's revenue. So that generally leads to a deficit. And while the economy is starting to pick up steam because of the tax cut, generally there's 1, 2, or 3 years where you do actually have to deal with lower revenues but the same level of spending. Okay, so what Mitch McConnell is saying is, hey, we're not going to just allow tax cuts if it's going to drive this big budget deficit, which is responsible. And that's the thing. I think a lot of the Republicans in office in Washington, D.C. have run on the fact that they're going to be fiscally responsible. Doing tax cuts, I think you can argue, is fine. I don't think their constituents would really care about that. But the stimulus thing is going to be an issue. For those fiscally responsible folks. But I certainly understand Mitch McConnell's take, which is, look, we've got to be very mindful of deficits, because when we create a deficit, even if it is temporary and for good reasons, we must fund that deficit with debt. And we've got too much of it already. Now, I tend to think you're going to see more of Donald Trump's tax plan than the Republicans' tax plan. I think it will skew more toward Trump's, which is more beneficial to you and me. I think that is going to happen. And I think it is probably going to be at least partly inflationary. The thing is, to answer Martel's question about is the Fed behind the eight ball? Well, not if they actually do raise rates 3 times next year. I do think that it will be adequate. In the end, we'll just have to wait and see.
What do you like about Trump's tax plan?
The most important part of it is making the United States competitive on a global stage. It is the cut in the corporate tax rate to 15%, if we can get that. Now, other Republicans have said that ain't going to happen. But if you do get to 15, not only are you not the worst corporate tax environment in the world, but suddenly you become the best. And I'm just going to bet that if that's the case, you will see a lot of foreign countries that have never even thought about relocating the United States actually relocate their headquarters here. We do need to take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what happened on Wednesday, and we will also get into some of the things that we found out about our economy. You're listening to Capitalist Pigs, KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM as well.
Visit OverheadDoorKansasCity.com or call 816-512-1512.
Hey, this is Mark Comfort, owner of Cruise Holidays and Comfort Tours, inviting you to join me and Dick and Renee of 94.9 Radio at the spectacular El Dorado Seaside Suites in the beautiful Riviera Maya area of Mexico. And this is in the heart of winter, February 5th through the 10th, nonstop flight. Adults only, ultra all-inclusive property. This brand new property you will absolutely love. Dick and Renee will be broadcasting live from this property again February 5th through the 10th. Give us a call today to find out more at 816-505-1500 or online cruiseholidayskc.com. That's cruiseholidayskc.com. And don't miss out if you want to have a pre-Valentine's Day sweetheart get-together with your sweetheart. Maybe renew your vows with the Reverend Dick Wilson and the Reverend Renee. Anyway, give us a call today at 816-505-1500. That's 505-1500.
With the Federal Reserve's money printing fueling stock and bond valuations to extreme levels, many market experts say it'll be hard to see even average gains from either of these asset classes over the next 10 years. So what's an investor to do? My name is Chris Butler, investment manager with Butler Lands and Wagler in Overland Park. I'm also the host of Capitalist Pigs radio show, heard every Saturday at 8 a.m. on KCMO. Stocks may be overvalued and bonds may be at risk as interest rates rise, but there are alternatives. Are you diversified enough for an economy that faces hurdles like too much government debt, too much consumer debt, excessive money printing, higher taxes, and increased regulation? If not, you may want to read our new free report on how to survive in the coming decade that'll likely include numerous hurdles, primarily too much debt. You can learn more by going to investontrack.com and downloading our free report. Do it now. Go to investontrack.com and download that free report.
This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Try to bring order to an otherwise chaotic world of economics, finance, and investment. You can join our endeavor by sending us an email. You do that by going to the show's website at thecapitalistpigs.com, where I've posted some charts that will help you visualize what we're talking about on today's show. You'll want to check those out, thecapitalistpigs.com. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler Lands and Wagler. And last segment, we just talked about what went on Wednesday. The big blow to the markets was the commentary and during the question and answer period with Janet Yellen, where she said, yeah, we're planning on three hikes next year versus the two that were expected before that meeting. And we're not even figuring any of Donald Trump's rather inflationary policies. And by the way, when I say that his policies are inflationary, I am saying that that's what people are saying. I hope by now we all understand that inflation is now and always has been, always will be a monetary phenomenon. If we are not printing money, it will not be inflationary. You can do whatever you want at the fiscal level. But if there is no money printing, there will be no inflation. And so... When I say inflationary, keep in mind, it's not that I actually believe that. It's that's the kind of the mainstream view, at least the way the markets are viewing this. I did want to make mention of the fact that comment that, yeah, we're going to raise rates three times next year and we haven't even figured on Donald Trump's policies yet, sent a lot of markets into overdrive. It sent the stock market down. It sent yields up, and it sent gold down, and it sent the dollar absolutely skyrocketing. On that day, Wednesday, the U.S. dollar was up 1%. A currency has a phenomenal week if it moves 1%. We did that in a day because it makes the dollar more attractive, probably because the short-term interest rate picture here in the United States got better. Therefore, there will be more people wanting dollars. They'll buy the dollars to buy the treasury bills, which will have higher yields than just about any developed nation on the planet. So the dollar took off. The dollar is making records every day. You don't hear about that. You hear about the Dow trying to make a record 20,000. But the dollar going up and making records is much more important. And frankly, the Dow ought to be paying attention. Because if you've got a big exposure to sales overseas, if you've got big operations overseas that you sell maybe raw materials to, you're going to have a problem. And by the way, over half of all the S&P 500 earnings are derived from overseas sources. This could crimp corporate revenue, corporate profit. So that's something to keep in mind, too. But what it did was it upset a lot of different markets. And so this week, some of these were issued before that. Some of these releases were issued after that Wednesday meeting. But this is inflation week. We got PPI, Producer Price Index. We got CPI, the Consumer Price Index. I think we got PPI the day of on Wednesday, and we got industrial production. I'm going to talk about that right now. Industrial production is important in this country, even if manufacturing, mining, and utilities production aren't a big a part of our economy as what used to be the case. And that is true. They're not. Facebook, for example, still uses heating and air conditioning utilities, and their services and applications are still communicated through a computer or an iPhone, cell phone. All of those computers and phones have to be manufactured. But this sector of our economy has been in trouble, quite a bit of trouble, for a while. We've had a negative growth rate on that industrial production index for quite some time. Manufacturing and utilities production have been decelerating for 2 and 3 years, respectively. Manufacturing decelerating for 2, utilities decelerating for 3 years now. Mining, unfortunately, the smallest weighting of these three industrial categories, has actually been on a 7-month tear. But the annual growth rate of each of these is barely positive. You look at manufacturing, annual growth rate of -0.25%, utilities, -0.25%, and mining, -6.5%. And keep in mind, mining is on a tear. I mean, it was worse than that. And it's accelerated to a growth rate of -6.5. So in November, we expected the industrial production index, and that's a composite index of those three industrial sectors, manufacturing, mining, utilities. We expected it to drop by 0.2 in November, 0.2%. But it dropped 0.4%. So things are not looking good here. Were it not for March 2016's 74.9% number, November's capacity utilization of 75% would be a 6.5-year low. What is capacity utilization? Comes out in this industrial production report, and it measures how much of the productive capacity in this country is actually being utilized to make things. Okay, we are at a 6.5-year low, right at it. Actually, March of this year was the low, but we're right there, 75%. That is absolutely horrible. There used to be an old axiom on Wall Street that said you can't get consumer inflation when capacity utilization is less than 80%. 80% was considered running hot. Imagine an engine with the in park, but the accelerator to the floor. That's equivalent to an 80% capacity utilization number. We're going to overheat. We're running hot. Prices go up, and the Fed has to start raising interest rates. That's an old axiom that probably is not applicable anymore, but I just wanted to give this some context. We're at 75% right now, and you might think that's not far. That's not far away from that 80% number. Thing is, yeah, it is. This number does not fluctuate that much. Between 72 and 80% for about as far back as you can look is about what this thing does, 81% on the high end, 82 maybe. So we haven't hit 80 post-recession, obviously, and we're a far cry from it. This thing just doesn't move that much that fast. So overall, if this gets released before I am going to have a Federal Reserve meeting, I'm putting this information in the back of my head and I'm filing it under reasons not to raise interest rates. Now, I think we're going to find, and we'll talk more about this when I get back from a break, but we're probably going to find the list of reasons not to raise rates is smaller than the reason to raise rates. We need to take a break. We'll finish this discussion when we come back. You're listening to Capitalist Pigs, KCMO Talk Radio 710, 103.7 FM.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
CBS News Update. Wintry weather is blamed for a 40-car pileup and two deaths on Interstate 95 in Baltimore. Fire Chief Roman Clark.
The weather condition is not helping at this point. We're still getting freezing rain, and we're working through this the best we can.
As that system moves northeast, Philadelphia International Airport is in ground stop mode. No planes in or out. The snow, freezing rain, and cold weather stretches to New England, the upper Midwest, and plains. In Minneapolis, it feels like minus 14. WBBM-TV's Ed Curran.
Tomorrow's high temperature in Minneapolis will be 7 below zero. That's the real temperature. And though Chicago says 5 degrees, it will slide down and by Bears game time be around zero with wind chills that are down to 15 and 20 degrees below zero.
It's a balmy 18 in Portland, Maine, just fine with Claudia Monsell, who lives there.
It's not as bad as you think. Once you start moving, you create energy. It's beautiful out here, and it's not too bad.
CBS News Update, I'm Peter King.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
Patchy freezing mist will give way to snow, and that snow could be heavy at times heading into this afternoon. Watch out for those roadways. We're expecting anywhere from 1 to 4 inches total snowfall accumulation through early this evening. Falling temperatures this afternoon will be dropping into the teens. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Lisa Teachman.
The economy still matters, and it can either be boon or bane to your investments. This is portfolio manager Chris Butler with Butler, Lands & Wagler and host of the Capitalist Pig Show, heard every Saturday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. The economy is always oscillating between periods of boom and bust, and that's as true today as it was 100 years ago. At Butler, Lands & Wagler, we provide you with the best chance to navigate our ever-changing economy by stacking the odds of success in your favor. We do that by investing with the trends, which are themselves reflective of our economy. The biggest difference between us and other financial advisors is that when the environment changes, so do we. This value-added approach gives you peace of mind, regardless what the economy and markets give us. You can learn more by downloading our free report at investontrack.com or giving us a call at 913-696-1919. That's investontrack.com and 913-696-1919.
Guns, guns, guns. It's gun show time. Don't miss the big Kansas City Gun and Knife Show and sale this weekend at the KCI Expo Center. Thousands of new and used rifles, shotguns, handguns, knives, wholesale ammunition, holsters, reloading supplies, and so much more. Bring in your old gun collections. Buyers on hand paying up to $10,000 for rare collections. So don't miss the big Kansas City Gun and Knife Show and sale this weekend at the KCI Expo Center. 11730 North Ambassador Drive, exit 12 off I-36 or exit 36 off I-435. Saturday 8 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3.
We've got your news right here, KCMO. Online at KCMOTalkRadio.com. FM 103.7 and AM 710.
It's outrageous. Shame on you.
KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Back to Capitalist Pigs, where every week we engage you in thoughtful discourse about our economy and our markets, and you can join the fun, boy isn't it, by sending us an email. You do that by going to the show's website, thecapitalistpigs.com. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler, Lands, and Wagler. Martell Love is the co-pilot, producer. Nice ditty there. Yeah, extraordinaire. What do you got playing right now, Martell?
That's Tupac. A little Tupac.
Tupac.
How do you want it?
Exactly right. Yes. Shakur is in
the
house.
Rest in peace.
Yes. West Coast is in
That's
the
right.
house.
West Side?
That's right. California. All right. I wanted to finish in this segment the conversation we were talking about towards the end of the last segment, which is if you're putting together a list of reasons to raise rates or to keep them where they're at or lower them, probably put industrial production at the top of the list of reasons to do nothing if not cut. On the other hand, we learned about inflation in the United States. on, I think we got half of it on Wednesday morning. The next half of the equation came out Thursday. Producer prices came out on Wednesday. November producer prices were actually pretty hot, and they were higher than expected, and that was pretty much across the board. This is a report that has at least 100 indices that they produce, and everything looked pretty hot to me. Regardless which of the various indices you look at, the growth rate of producer prices is accelerating. Now, construction prices may be the only exception. So if you're in the construction business, you probably know this. The one that's really picking up is the index of final demand for consumer goods. And that's gone from a negative 2% to a barely positive growth rate, but in just 4 months. That is pretty much getting vertical. And you can see that. I've posted a chart of that at thecapitalistpigs.com. Even core producer prices, and that's producer prices except food and energy, even that's starting to accelerate, although modestly. But the point I'd make here is that clearly this implies future inflation for the consumer because producer prices are going up. They are going to try to pass that on to the consumer. But I think we need a little bit of perspective. The hottest two inflation numbers in the PPI are core PPI, that doesn't have food or energy, and the prices of services that producers use. And get this, the growth rate of these two is 1.33% annually. That's the hottest two inflation reads. Now, of course, since we're talking about inflation, I need to add my inflation disclaimer so that I don't get angry emails and texts, which is this. No, I don't believe that this these numbers accurately portray real inflation. No, I do not. However, this is what markets look at, so I look at it, number one. Number two, they almost always get the direction of inflation right, and they are meaningful. The numbers themselves are meaningful when compared to themselves. So there, if you want to go outside of that and start talking about how producer prices actually are only going up at 1.33%, no, I don't believe that, or CPI for that matter. But I think it is still informational to know that PPI is measuring prices at a 1.33% clip, which is the highest we've seen in a while. But relative to its history, that's low. That's not high. Now, the bad thing is that most of these indices are seeing their growth rates accelerate at breakneck speed. So that is something that we should be paying attention to. I wouldn't necessarily say that that is going to go on forever. It's not. But we do need to be aware of it. The Fed needs to be aware of it. And I think the Fed has laid out a plan for tackling it. They're going to raise interest rates. All right. Then CPI. CPI came out, Consumer Price Index came out on Thursday, and there were no surprises in the November CPI report. We got exactly what was expected. Since April of 2015, the all items CPI index has been accelerating from a negative growth rate to today's positive 1.7%. That's a pretty good clip, too, for about 18 months. That is not bad, going from deeply negative to positive 1.7, but it is still accelerating, even though 1.7% historically is not very high. It is still accelerating, which means it's likely to go higher. The core CPI, meaning if you strip out food and energy, that's higher than the all items index. It's growing at about 2.1%. But it's actually starting to decelerate a little. So that's your core. Your core is decelerating. When you add food and energy, it's accelerating. What does that tell you? Food and energy are probably accelerating. Their prices are accelerating. Now, the worrisome areas in this report were in housing and medical care, both at post-recession highs. And I'm talking about their growth rates, their annual growth rates. And they pretty much are driving inflation measures across the board higher. And by the way, of all the sub-indices in this report, there are these two, speaking of housing and medical care, are the most heavily interfered with by your government. So let's not forget the government, those folks, on our holiday card list. It is about as expensive as it's been to see a doctor or buy a house or rent an apartment ever. I mean, these are like near all-time highs, and that is your government at work. They are involved in just about every angle of the medical care industry. And what was the Federal Reserve's stated intention 5 years ago? They wanted to start reflating housing prices. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished because they're pricing people out of these markets. Well, that those two, PPI and CPI, released this week, would have been two very significant checks on the side of the ledger that were for taking care of inflation by raising interest rates. And in fact, if you looked at the last 25 or 26 measures of our economy, I think you would come to the same conclusion. There are probably two reasons to raise rates for every one not to. And maybe it is overblown. I think it is. The expectation of inflation is overblown, as witnessed by two surveys. Number one, consumers are expecting as low a rate of inflation over the next 6 months pretty much ever. And then you have the Atlanta Fed, which released business inflation expectations this past week. The people that they survey, the businessmen that they survey, businesswomen, business people, have said that they think prices will, by the end of next year, be growing at about 2.1%. Okay, that's not too far away from where we're at now, honestly. And in fact, if you're just looking at the core, we are there. So I'm not really sure these expectations by survey are in alignment with what the market thinks. And the market actually thinks we're going to go through some kind of strange hyperinflation. Now, we've certainly created enough money for it. But I can tell you this, if you see a deceleration in the money supply any time now, you can take those inflation expectations completely off the table. As it so happens, though, we are actually printing money at a fairly reasonably healthy clip. I say healthy. You get the picture. It's not healthy print money because you do get inflation. The thing is, though, that healthy clip is well within norms historically. Heck, it's within norms post-recession. It's right smack dab in the middle of the range post-recession, which is, I think, for our economy, it paints a better picture being in the middle of that range than it did even a year ago where it was at the bottom of the range and people were fearful of a recession. So if that's something good about the money production, okay, I buy that. Speaking of money production, let's take a look at the dollar and how it behaved this week. I have still not been able to explain the move of the euro after Mario Draghi's strange dovish taper or hawkish QE, quantitative easing, speech that he gave last week. The fact is that Europe is tapering off of their quantitative easing program. That means they are slowing down the rate at which they are creating money, right? And if you do that, that is tightening. That is absolutely tightening. And if you are tightening, then you would expect to see your currency go up. But since Draghi's announcement of cutting the money printing program, the euro has actually lost 8% of its value and is now flirting once again with what they call parity. This parity thing, and I hadn't heard that word in maybe a year or more, It's when $1 equals 1 euro in the exchange rates. Okay, and right now the euro is more valuable than the dollar, but becoming less so seemingly every year. I mean, it probably peaked about 3 years ago while we were in the middle of quantitative easing big time. And then we announced tapering, and you've seen the euro slowly lose its value versus the dollar. So I do think that we have had plenty to do with the reason that the dollar is going up, but that one I cannot quite explain. The euro should probably be getting stronger versus the dollar, and it's not. Suffice it to say that the U.S. dollar has been the beneficiary of that euro weakness, but we had a lot to do with it as well. As we already mentioned in the first segment, the dollar was up 1% on the day Janet Yellen surprised markets with her hawkishness. The dollar was up almost 1.5% this week, and that means we should have expected oil and gold to have gone down. Oil actually was up almost 2%, but gold was down because it had to contend with not only the dollar going up, which is bad for gold, but it had to contend with interest rates going up, also bad for gold, but it was down less than 2%. When we get back, we're going to conclude our discussion about the markets. You're listening to Capless Pigs, KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
Are you a fellow investment professional and fan of the philosophies discussed each week on the Capitalist Pigs? Have you considered how your clients could benefit from the all-weather portfolio through Butler, Lowndes & Wagler as a third-party money manager? Or are you looking to retire and would like to provide your clients with an active money manager that will work with you as you transition into retirement? Butler, Lowndes & Wagler is interested in speaking with you about opportunities that could benefit both you and your clients. Give them a call at 913-696-1919.
Having fresh, reliable batteries is a necessity. Whether you're in a commercial, industrial, or a residential environment, batteries are essential. Wholesale Batteries has the right batteries for laptops, ATVs, power sports, computer backups, automotive, marine, portable electronics, you name it, and they've got it. Wholesale Batteries, the one-stop shop that keeps you powered up and ready to go. Go to wholesalebatteries.net or call 913-342-0113 or outside the metro, 1-800-886-8658. Wholesale Batteries gives you the power.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
The storks are bringing me a baby brother. We can do this together.
All right, let's go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this.
You will rock this.
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool, cool, cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
I never dreamed that any mere physical experience could be so stimulating.
KCM.
Oh!
KCMO.
Welcome back to Capitalist Pigs, where every week we try to make a little bit of sense out of the seemingly nonsensical worlds of money and investments. You can join our party by sending us an email. You do that by going to the show's website, thecapitalistpigs.com. Check out the charts we have posted for you while you're there. My name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager with Butler, Lowndes & Wagler. Hope you are staying warm this weekend. Actually, Martell, I heard that tickets for that Chiefs game are going for $16. Did you hear that?
I did. And it's going to be the Chiefs are winning, but it's going to be hard to fill that stadium with temperatures in the teens.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is that TV and radio coverage have gotten so good, frankly, over the last 30 years that with each passing year, I feel less compulsion to go put myself in that kind of weather.
I agree. I can watch it right on my couch and watch my HD TV home in the heat.
And they've got more cameras covering it. You know? Not only that, but with the radio, you've got more sideline coverage.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is there a need? And I heard somebody on Facebook posted a very angry email about Chiefs fans not buying up these tickets because, you know, you shouldn't be called a fan if you're not going to weather the elements. Well, man, I guess I'm not a fan then by your standard.
I'm a fan watching at home.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you the way to do it is to watch it at home on TV with the TV muted and listen to the radio.
Absolutely. Local coverage. Because a lot of times the guys they have doing the national broadcast, I like some of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they just don't know the team that well.
Exactly. It is nice now that Trent Green is a commentator.
Oh, that's true. He does know the team. Yeah, absolutely. He is good. All right, let's get back to the markets here. I wanted to say one thing about the dollar before we moved on to bonds, and that is that there is the dollar is getting a little lopsided. There are so many bets that the dollar goes up now that you're basically one standard deviation, more than a standard deviation, away from the mean, which means that, you know, one standard deviation, you don't reach that in anything, any statistical measure of anything very often. This is getting kind of strange. Not as strange as bonds. In fact, there are more bets on you're right now at one point. This number was five standard deviations, which should happen, what, about once every three or four lifetimes? That's how much people are betting against the price of bonds or betting for higher interest rates. That's getting skewed. But let's talk about bonds for a second. Foreign central banks, wealth funds, virtually every other official institution that buys U.S. debt, treasuries, seems to be liquidating their treasury holdings at a record pace. To wit, the Treasury International Capital Flows report released this week shows an unprecedented $400 billion liquidation by foreigners over the past 12 months. That selling is going to put downward pressure on bond prices, upward pressure on interest rates. However, I also read a headline of someone's blog post, didn't read the article, so I would apologize if I've mistaken the intent, but the headline went something like this: inflation isn't causing interest rates to rise, it's China. Well, no, it's probably both. And I would say, if anything, inflationary expectations are having a larger impact than the selling by foreigners, including China. $400 billion of a nation that's got $18 trillion in debt is, yeah, that's significant for 1 year, I guess, but it's still kind of small. It's not that big of a deal, and if spread out over a year, it probably wouldn't be very impactful at all. Sure, there's an impact. Just don't think it's that big. Of course, we talked about Janet Yellen and her comments and what that meant. That kind of shocked markets that you're already going to raise expectations for 2017 interest rate hikes from 2 to 3. Yeah, I think markets probably could have lived with that a little bit. But when she said, oh, and no, that doesn't include our expectations for Trump's monetary policy, well, that got things rolling either way up or way down, depending on what you are. If you're a stock or a bond, you went way down. If you're the U.S. dollar, you went way up. So the bond outlook is probably overdone. You know, you have way too a five standard deviation bet on interest rates going up from here. if that were to reverse, and by the way, we got a little hint of what that might look like. We got a hint on Friday when news was released that Chinese Navy boat intercepted an underwater drone and had access to some kind of information that was on that drone. I don't know what it was necessarily. But you saw at that point gold, which was up about 0.1%, shoot up to one and a quarter percent in about half an hour. Meanwhile, interest rates, which had been spiking all morning, couldn't find a bottom. They fell amidst frenzied buying that took place over that same half hour, but it was more pronounced in the bond market than in gold. That's the kind of thing that would reverse this five standard deviation bet, and it would be, I think, as one Twitter user said, the mother of all market reversals. It's just skewed. That doesn't mean interest rates can't go up. They can, but the bet is becoming a little one-sided. Well, okay, a lot one-sided. So things are probably going to be volatile there for a while until you actually do get some kind of signal that maybe people have forgotten about protecting their risky assets with the safer assets. Commodities, we mentioned that oil was up, gold was down. Oil was up primarily because of the OPEC. We're still feeling that OPEC decision to cut production. That benefits the U.S., but it, our oil market, but it really has not had much of an impact this week because we also got news that the U.S. is still flirting with producing at record levels, which really means the oil glut will probably stay with the world a lot longer than maybe what we had been used to. As far as stocks go, and sometimes when I'm running light on remaining time, it's unfortunate that stocks pay the brunt of that. But really, I don't have much to say about the stock market other than what a great relief rally. But again, I think that this is, the rubber band is being stretched too far. The Dow Jones was as overbought as it had been since 1993. And it really hasn't changed much since that figure was reached a week or so ago. It is as overbought as it has been in 30 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if the stock market did pull back a little bit. It's nothing, I don't think, to be frightened of, but it's just the rubber band's been stretched too far. You're in need of a pullback. It's all the time we have for today. Stay tuned for Don Wales Protecting Your Retirement. That comes up next. And thanks for listening to Capitalist Pigs.